hearing how AI specifically, automation in general, are invading our world. And RevCycle is no different.
That's the hot topic, right? And I'm after some portions of some parts of this automation, right? In nearly every step of the RevCycle. My goal as a leader is never to automate my team out of a job, but to automate the things that don't take any brain power, right? Like the tedious tasks that nobody wants to do, data entry, that should be a thing of the past.
This episode of Vital Conversations is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
Welcome to Vital Conversations, sponsored by Focus Solutions. My name is Tim Cohen. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer at Focus. And here we have an opportunity to talk to healthcare leaders throughout the industry in lots of different areas of expertise and concentration about what's going on in their world. And we particularly focus on the intersection of their work and kind of how IT and data are impacting their life. I'm pleased to have as my guest today, Dina Langan. Dina, welcome to Vital Conversations.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Dina is the Vice President of RevCycle at Frontier Dermatology, and I'm going to have her in a moment give us a little background on Frontier as context, but I have some RevCycle in a lot of years in my life, so we've got a couple of RevCycle nerds that might be going at it today. Dina, tell us a little bit about your background and also about Frontier Dermatology.
I'm excited to nerd out. I haven't heard someone talk about RevCycle and nerding, so this is exciting. I have been in the RevCycle world for just north of 15 years, 13 of which have been in some form of leadership capacity. RevCycle, for any of those who don't know, anything from the patient coming in to coding, to sending claims to insurance, fighting with insurance, appealing denials, patient billing, et cetera, et cetera. I've lived in a couple of different large dermatology groups, but right now, as you said, Frontier Dermatology, it's the largest dermatology group in the Pacific Northwest. We span from the very north tip of Washington to the very southern tip of Oregon, and we have been around 25 years, so it's exciting.
Give us a rough idea, how many offices, how many providers?
Yeah,
I could ask you how many CPT codes you bill, but that would really be going into the deep end.
I could give that to you if you want. We have just north of 100 providers over 39 locations now. We just opened a new one.
Okay. So you've got some size, you've got some scale, yeah, which means you've got some complexity.
Yes.
Okay. Today's conversation is going to be a little bit against the grain because no one can open their phone, their email, or the evening news without hearing how AI, specifically automation in general, are invading our world. And RevCycle is no different, right? There are lots of folks, whether it's in the PM and EMR vendors natively or people using the large language models, you know, like ChatGPT and Google, or specific applications on autonomous coding or this, that, or the other. RevCycle is absolutely being besieged by technology. And Dina, while you are not anti-technology, what we are going to talk about today is, given that you do this every day for a large organization, we're going to concentrate on a couple of places where you as an operator might say, slow down just a little bit. This is harder than you think to automate. Is that a fair way to frame up the things on your mind today?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's start at 100,000 feet before we dive into a couple of specific areas. You work for organization, they're asking you all the time, hey, why can't we automate this? Why do you need all these humans? Before we look at things like contracting and prior auth and denials, what would you say to them broadly? Though they may not fully understand the nuances, just see automation's everywhere. Why not in RevCycle?
Yeah. That's the hot topic, right? And I'm after some parts of this automation, right? In nearly every step of the rev cycle. My goal as a leader is never to automate my team out of a job, but to automate the things that don't take any brain power, right? Like the tedious tasks that nobody wants to do, data entry, that should be a thing of the past. Eligibility should be completely automated. But one area where I don't see automation just yet, I'm hoping it's out there soon or it's on the horizon. But from a coding standpoint, right? Okay.
You're not anti-automation.
No,
I
love it.
You're just saying, hey, I have to live in the gap between the sales PowerPoint deck and what really happens. You know,
that's exactly right. Okay. Yes.
All right. So let's talk about where you're starting. You would love to see some answers, but you just don't see them yet.
Yeah. And they may be out there. So if anybody's watching, reach out to me. Coding, right? We're so heavily dependent on provider behavior and on what buttons they're pushing in the different virtual exam rooms in any system. Right now, when the right buttons are clicked, all of the systems that I've worked in are overwhelmingly accurate as it relates to coding. But any missed buttons could result in incorrect coding. And what I would love to see, and again, it may very well be out there, is some sort of OCR software or something that could read through visit notes and compare to current AMA coding guidelines and suggest any coding changes that we need. Because right now I've got 6 certified coders whose entire role is to read through a visit note and ensure the coding that was spit out by this system matches the actual written documentation.
Let's stay there for just a second, because for people who are not technology oriented, specifically not in the depths of AI, they would say, well, wait a second, I've got a note. Isn't this exactly what the garden variety ChatGPT is designed to do, to ingest some text and spit out a something? Isn't that coding? What's so hard about it all? Why do you still need certified coders in that process?
That's a great question. And so anytime any of our providers or clinical team members, medical assistants, whoever is helping, you know, support the provider, when we're in what I refer to as a virtual exam room, any system where you're documenting the medical portion of it, let me step back. In 2020, the whole coding world was flipped upside down and all of our coding rules and regulations were completely changed for the first time in almost 35 years. And so what used to be based on how many parts of the body were examined versus severity of a condition, et cetera, our coding is now based 100% on medical decision making. And so when a provider is in that exam room, the virtual exam room, we're heading back that way now. If they are inadvertently documenting a condition as stable, a chronic and stable condition, but then further in the note, they say that it's flaring right now or the patient's not really happy with the results, by AMA coding rules and guidelines, that's actually considered chronic with exacerbation. And if we click the right button, the chronic with exacerbation button, that should be a code higher, right? It should be a level 4 office visit instead of a level 3. And so that's what I'm talking about, is documentation further on has those keywords that we're looking for and really would substantiate a higher visit, but it's not getting there because the providers are clicking the wrong buttons.
Okay, got it. Would you see that in a weird way, could we make more progress given the power of the large language models if we took providers out of clicking buttons and just let the text drive the coding?
Are you referring to an ambient listening scribe?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. One that codes.
Right. However, and this is where, you know, we wake up every day in Rev Cycle. Our primary job is to turn care into cash, we like to use to say. But there are these compliance things that carry very strict penalties for our providers. How does that reality, and I've got buttons and I've got ambient scribes that picked up certain things that were said early in the visit and certain things that are late, but a code or a series of codes has to go on the claim in a compliant way. How do you reconcile all of those nuances?
That's exactly why we have people reviewing everything. Okay. Yeah. So that's a part of the rev cycle that I think is untapped. I think that that's a great opportunity for AI to come in and help us automate.
Right. The other thing, we say to our providers all the time, rev cycle does not occur, you know, down in the billing office, right? And what you're talking about is like, we're not in the exam room. The provider and the patient, you know, maybe there's a medical assistant, but you kind of live on what the documentation says happens in the room, not what might have happened or should have happened or was intended to happen. Right?
That's exactly right. If it's not in the documentation, it never happened.
Yeah. What's your level of optimism about being able to move the needle materially on the coding function inside RevCycle, say in the next 12 to 18 months, materially with AI and automation?
I think that is certainly possible. I think that this is something that maybe AI companies or services have not really reached out to anyone in RevCycle to really understand what the needs are. And I think if that conversation really happens, we're off and running. AI is moving so quickly, right? So quickly. All the machine learning technology is so fast, and it's awesome. So I'm highly optimistic that we're going to, you know, move the needle a little bit. And I do know that several large PM practice management systems are in the works of creating those ambient listening devices. So it's coming.
You jumped right to the visit. Let's go both upstream and then we'll go downstream. Let's talk about things like contracting. Seems straightforward, right? We go out, we negotiate a contract with the payer. Physicians always want to say, well, you guys are loading all that in, so we know we got paid exactly what we're supposed to get paid. Why is that harder to automate than maybe people would think?
That's a great question. There's always going to be a people element, right? The actual negotiators speaking back and forth to one another. But the automated portion that I would love to see, or the part that's difficult to automate, is ensuring that the correct contracts are actually loaded into a system, right? We should be able to pull what the most commonly paid rate is per code in our systems to be able to verify, you know, what exactly is our allowable right now? What would the impact be if our allowable went up certain points or something like that? And that's not really able to be done unless you've loaded in your individual contract into the PM systems.
And that contract is not just one headline number. It's got what's bundled. And yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of pages and pages of complexity behind just, hey, what's the percent of Medicare that's
right.
You're supposed to be paid, right?
It's based on coding carve-outs, right? Your pathology claims may be paid at a different rate than your surgical claims, et cetera. And then there's a multi-procedure discount rule. There's all kinds of stuff, to your point. Yeah, it's very, very tedious and detailed.
You referenced this earlier, but there's been a lot of attention of late in kind of what happens pre-visit between the provider and the payer, eligibility, prior authorization, those types of things. Why is that function so hard to automate?
So that portion is highly dependent on our patients. If we could convince, I would love to sit on my couch in my pajamas and fill out all my paperwork before I go to the doctor's office, and we're getting there. But because we're reliant on certain demographics to go in and do that, that's the first miss for us. But the second is that if they don't take a picture of their insurance card, or if we don't have the correct information, the right payer, the right anything like that, my husband has no idea what type of a plan we have. It's an HMO or PPO or whatever. And so I think there's a gap in knowledge for not only from us to our patients, but also from the patients to their insurance companies. But even when we have that information, if it's correct, certainly eligibility and benefits can be run automatically, but I find that it's not automatically applied to the upcoming appointment. It won't tell the patient what they're going to owe out of pocket. That I would love to see.
Let's now go to the back end. We've seen the patient file the claim. Of course, they all pay exactly right the first time. Let's talk about denials. Denials are at the heart of the rev cycle process, right? A lot of the work is related to denials. What are the particular challenges around automating denials and appeals?
There are a large number of denials that should not require human intervention. And you don't quite know what a denial is unless you've been able to go in to the ERA, EFT, remit, and actually see the RERC codes. So for right, what I would love to see, and what's very difficult right now, is for RevCycle team members to be able to program their system to recognize certain denial codes and to act on our behalf rather than my team having to do so, right? Denials for documentation. I shouldn't have a team member sitting there going through each one of those, downloading the records, faxing them out one by one.
Right.
I would love to have a bot that can do that. They can receive the CO252 and automatically shoot back that documentation to the payer so that none of my team has to even see it.
Okay. And are you hearing about anybody on the edge of doing that type of thing?
No, not yet. I would love that.
Okay. The final area I want to talk about, RevCycle involves a lot of data reporting and analysis, right? To individual providers, and in your case, you know, large management team on how the business is going. What are some of the places that are still real heavy manual lifts for you in reporting and analytics that you would love to see automated?
I don't know. That's a great question. Okay. What I would love daily reports. Some of that is industry standard across most PM systems, but a daily report to see exactly what was done yesterday, that would be lovely. And one of the automatic, one of the highly manual processes, not for me, but for my finance team, is to go through and reconcile AR, and the revenue recognition process is very, very, very manual. For their sake, I think it would be great to have that.
Yeah. Got it. All right. Dina, final question. You're not a techno pessimist. You know, you're just saying, hey, I would love to see these things. Here's some of my challenges. If you and I got back together a year from now and resume this conversation, what would be the thing you would be able to most hope to say to me? It's like, Tim, we cracked the code. We really, really moved the needle. With automation, and either it's less work, it's less brain damage, it's faster, whatever the metric is, what would be the most exciting for you a year from now?
You know, I'm equally excited about automating the coding process. You know, I mentioned some sort of software being able to suggest to us what coding edits can be made based on what's documented, as well as the appeal process. Something being automated in the realm of types of appeals, right? And I want a templated appeal, and I want a bot to be able to tell me that something is denied for documentation and send that out. Both of those I'm equally excited about. So in a year, if one of those actually comes through, I will be beside myself. You're not going to want to have me on here.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Dina, thanks much. You know, it's just great getting your point of view, because we are at a period of time where there's a lot of change, a lot of innovation, and it is bubbling, you know, through our actual practices where we deliver care to patients and healthcare all happens, and RevCycle, you know, has got to take that work and make it real. So just kind of a live report from how we are progressing and where we are right now. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.